And take your Bibles, turn over to Acts chapter number 8. Acts chapter 8. We'll be looking at verses 26 through verse 38 tonight, the few moments that we have left. And I really was going back and forth because I had another sermon prepared previously of something the Lord has spoken to me about. In my Christian walk, and prayerfully in the coming weeks and months, I'll be able to preach that message to you. But we're going to read this passage of Scripture in Acts chapter 8, and I want us to take a spiritual inventory of ourselves tonight with the help of the Holy Spirit. And I want us to look at this familiar narrative. Many of us are going to be familiar with this as soon as I start reading it, about Philip and the Ethiopian. And perhaps tonight, by the time we walk out of these doors, the Holy Spirit would point out to us the answer to this question that I'm going to highlight in this passage of Scripture as we read it. So let's take our Bibles. Let's look at Acts chapter number 8. And we're just going to stay seated for the sake of the length of this passage. I'm going to read it to you, and then we will pray. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. The Bible says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go towards the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, unto Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near, and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understand thou what thou readest. And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Now I'm going to pause right there and ask that if you would underline that passage right there in your Bible. Now, this phrase, you don't have to underline the whole thing, but just underline those first few words, what doth hinder me? Now I want you to think about that as we continue down through this. Notice what it says in verse number 37. And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And in verse 38, and he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening for the time that we've been able to bring these prayer requests before you. And Father, I know that, Lord, that your hand will be upon each of these requests. And Father, we're thankful that we can come before you with these requests and know that you will answer us. And Lord, that you're going to do this week some great and mighty things in the lives of your people. And I thank you for that, Father. I thank you for the dear brother testifying of an answered prayer request to be able to provide for his vehicle to get fixed. And many others, Father, who have sought after you. And I know even Jonathan, as he is going to be seeking after you concerning a direction in his job. Father, I know that you are going to direct him because he's going to be seeking after you. And I thank you for that, Father. I pray now that as we look into your word, Lord, our hearts would be open to receive what you have for us. Lord, as I thought about this passage of Scripture and the hindrances in the Christian life, I pray, Father, we would just be able to take inventory tonight. Lord, as you would guide us and point out those hindrances in our Christian life. And Father, we would not be hindered any longer to go forward for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I pray, Father, you'd speak to our hearts. Lord, please be with those who are not here among us, those who are sick, those who are unable to attend. And Father, I just pray you'd just direct in their lives as well. We ask all these things in your Son's name. Amen. So as we look at this passage, if you're like me, this story is very familiar, and I love what Philip did in evangelizing this Ethiopian eunuch. This passage is oftentimes cited because of the amazing obedience that Philip displayed in leaving a revival there in Samaria. And he goes off into the middle of this desert and obeying the guidance of the Holy Spirit, he joins himself to this chariot, witnesses to this Ethiopian eunuch. The man gets saved, he gets baptized, and no doubt goes back to Africa and evangelizes the area around there. And of course, as we look at this, the results from obeying the Holy Spirit of God as he prompts you, is no more than spectacular when we think about that. But as we look at this passage, I want you to take a different angle at it and look at it a little bit differently tonight. And here's the perspective I want you to think about. I want you to think about looking at this through the eyes of a newborn babe in Jesus Christ, one who has just been saved. And you say, why would I do that? Well, here's why. What happens over time as we become old, crusty Christians, if you will, is we forget those things that we once knew when we were newborn babes in Christ. We start to have inhibitions about doing things that we wouldn't have thought twice about as having brand new faith in Jesus Christ. And so I want you to think about, through the eyes of a newborn babe in Christ, this Ethiopian eunuch as he expresses the first words as a Christian in the form of a question. And this question, you can see up on the screen there, is this, is what doth hinder me to be baptized? Or you could put it this way, what doth hinder you? And I want you to think about this as we see in verse 36. You'll notice in the passage, he says this. He says, see, here is water. He says, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And I want us to think and contemplate on this question, what doth hinder me? You see, the Ethiopian eunuch knew this. He knew that he should be baptized. I'm assuming that Philip, the evangelist, told him something about baptism. Perhaps he told him about when Jesus was baptized and the Holy Spirit came upon him. I don't know, but he knew this, is that he needed to be baptized, because he asked Philip, the evangelist, a direct question. But the simple question could be this, what doth hinder me? In other words, you could frame it this way. What is it that would hinder me from moving forward in my Christian life? Because after all, this is what the Ethiopian eunuch wanted to do. He wanted to take that next step in believer's baptism and be baptized by Philip the evangelist. And so he simply asked a question. He said, Philip, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And we know the results from this. So I want you to think perhaps tonight of some hindrances that are lurking in your Christian life. And don't sit there and say this in your heart, I don't have any hindrances. Because I will tell you this, is that every one of us struggle with things that hinder us in our Christian lives. And I want us to look from the perspective of a newborn babe in Christ, asking that first question, Lord, what is it that hinders me in my Christian life tonight? And I'm going to give you some things here. We're going to breeze through them rather quickly. And a couple of them I'm not even going to really go into. I'm just going to give you the passage and the hindrance. And I want you to do this, is take your Bibles when you get home, open them up and study it out for yourself and ask the Lord to reveal unto you what is it that perhaps is hindering you in your Christian life. Well, first of all, if we were to look at this passage, we would see this is the hindrance of sin. The hindrance of sin. And I'm going to give you two things in this. One of them is positionally, and one of them is practically. The hindrance of sin positionally, and then there's the hindrance of sin practically. You say, Pastor James, what are you talking about? I'm going to explain it to you right now. Notice in our passage in verse number 36 again, I'll read it to you. It says, and as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me from being baptized? You'll notice immediately in verse number 37 that Philip the evangelist gives him a response. And look at the response there, if you will, in verse number 37. The Bible says, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And notice the eunuch's response. He says, he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. What we simply find here is this, is the eunuch saying this, I want to be baptized. And Philip says, that's good, but you must be saved first. You must have placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And see, for some, the hindrance is positionally this matter of sin. We understand this, is that we're all sinners. The Bible says, as is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. It also says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And because of that sin, we have been separated from our God positionally. You see, we are not considered a son of God until we've placed trust and faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so positionally, we are separated from God. So Philip says this, the stipulation for you to be baptized is simply this, is that your belief in Jesus Christ as the Lamb that was slain for our sins. Notice in verse number 32, I can prove this to you. In verse number 32 through 35, we find what it is that Philip had to explain to the Ethiopian eunuch. The Bible says the place of scripture which he read, this was the Ethiopian eunuch, was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who should declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said this. He says, I pray thee, who speaketh this prophet this? He's asking Philip, he says, who is it this prophet is speaking about? Is this prophet speaking about himself, or is he speaking about someone else? But notice there in verse number 7 what Philip's answer was. I'm sorry, in verse number 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at that same scripture. That's Isaiah 53, by the way. He began at that same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. What exactly did Philip preach about Jesus? Well, I can tell you this. He preached the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Just as the children sang tonight about the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, just as they quoted that verse, as Paul laid it out, the gospel, which is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what Philip preached to the eunuch, and that's what he expounded to him out of Isaiah chapter number 53. And I don't have time to go there tonight to actually take that passage of scripture and break it open for you, but I will tell you this, is that, think about this, the eunuch had just come from the temple in Jerusalem. And most scholars agree this, is that he was there perhaps for the Passover gathering there at the temple. And so I can tell you this, this eunuch understood the implications about a lamb without blemish. He understood the implications about a male of the first year. He understood the implications about that spotless lamb that was slain. And as it was slain, they collected the blood. And as they collected that blood, then they would take it in and sprinkle it before the altar. You see, this eunuch understood that that lamb was a picture of Jesus Christ after Philip the evangelist explained it to him. And when he understood this, he understood that he had to place his faith and his trust in the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. If you're sitting here tonight and you've never placed your faith and trust in Jesus, the Son of God, that spotless lamb, that male without blemish who was slain on that cross of Calvary for your sins and for my sins, you need to understand this, is that you are hindered because of sin. And the only way to get rid of that hindrance of sin is by placing your trust in Jesus and the fact that He was the propitiation, He was the payment for your sin on the cross of Calvary. Just as that spotless lamb was brought before the priest, and just as its neck was slit and the blood was drained and it was applied to the altar, Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God, was crucified on a cross, His blood shed for your sins and for my sins. And so we find that he had this hindrance of sin positionally to be baptized. Paul puts it this way in Romans chapter 6, if you write this down, 17 and 18. He says this, but God be thanked that ye were the servants, and that word servants means slaves, of sin. This was prior to salvation. This is prior to placing your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You are servants or hindered by sin. He says, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that was delivered to you. What was that form of doctrine? The death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the gospel message. And it goes on to say this, being then made free from sin, now released from that hindrance, you become the servants of righteousness. You see, this Ethiopian eunuch, the hindrance that he would have to being baptized is this, is being saved, placing his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And so once we do that, we understand this, positionally before God, we are now a child of God. In John chapter 3, as Jesus talked to Nicodemus, he said, ye must be born again. We must be born by the Spirit into the family of God. And as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And so positionally, some will have the hindrance of sin. But then there's something else you need to know also. You say you come here tonight, Pastor James, and I've already accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Well, positionally, you don't have that hindrance of sin. But practically, perhaps you do. And this is the daily asking for forgiveness of sins as we sin against our holy and righteous God. Christians oftentimes have this hindrance of sin in their lives. Notice in verse number 39 here, I want to point something out to you. The Ethiopian eunuch, after he got saved, went away rejoicing. The Bible says this, and when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more. And notice this, and he, that's the eunuch, went on his way rejoicing. Boy, I don't know about you. Who here can remember that day that they got saved? I do. I'll tell you this much. I was rejoicing after I got saved. But you know what happens after we get saved? Then tomorrow comes. And guess what happens when tomorrow comes? There's coming a day when the Ethiopian eunuch would have to ask forgiveness for sins which he committed. In case you haven't figured this out, the day that you got saved, you did not become sinless in your everyday actions. As a matter of fact, we find as we grow closer to the Lord, we realize more of our sinfulness than we realized before we were even saved. And so there's coming a day for this Ethiopian eunuch when he's going to have to ask for forgiveness for that sin that's hindering his fellowship with the Lord. John chapter 13 and verse number 10 puts it this way. Jesus saith unto him, he that is washed needeth not to save, but to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And you are clean, but not all. This was the account, if you remember, Jesus in the upper room before he was crucified. And he had taken down his outer garment and girt about himself with that. And he took a bowl of water and went around to each of the disciples and started to wash their feet. Well, you can imagine the gasping and the awes as this was taking place as the Son of God knelt down and was cleaning the dirty feet of the disciples. Well, if you remember the passage, when you get around to Peter, he backs up and says, no, Lord, you're not going to wash me. And you remember Jesus' statement to him. He says, if I don't wash you, guess what? Ye have no part with me. And then we find out that Peter erroneously says this, well, Lord, if that's the case, wash me from head to toe. You remember the passage? And that's when Jesus makes this statement. He says this, he that is washed or saved needeth not save to wash his feet. And basically the allusion is this, in the Christian life, we're getting dirty feet each and every day, and we need to get those feet washed and taken care of. And so, practically speaking, there is a daily washing that needs to take place in the life of the Christian. 1 John 2 and verse number 1 says this, my little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not. And so, by the way, the goal of the Christian life is for us not to sin. In case you haven't figured that out, we're supposed to be staying away from this matter of sin. But he goes on to say this, if any man sin, in other words, you're going to sin, we have an advocate with the Father, which is, guess who? Jesus Christ the righteous. So thank the Lord for that, that Jesus ever liveth at the right hand of the Father to make intercession for guess who? You and I. And we find in 1 John 1, 7 through 9, it says this, but if we walk in the light, as he is the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, notice this, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to cleanse us, to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You say this maybe tonight, perhaps the hindrance in your life is not this practically speaking, this matter of sin. Perhaps it is you've gone to the Lord today and said, Lord, please forgive me for this, and forgive me for that, and forgive me for this thing right here that I've done. And maybe that's not the hindrance in your Christian life. Well, let me give you a second one very quickly. First one is the hindrance of sin. The second one is this, the hindrance of disobedience. The hindrance of disobedience. In our passage here, Philip was obviously obedient to the Lord. And if you know the story here, he was preaching a great revival there in the city of Samaria. Many were getting saved. Many were coming to Jesus Christ. And here the Holy Spirit of God comes along and says, hey, I want you to go out to this desert and I want you to join yourself under this chariot. And guess what Philip did? He up and obeyed the Holy Spirit of God and went to that place. And because of this, Philip got to see the temporal blessings of someone coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. But no doubt he's going to reap spiritual treasures in heaven one day because of his obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice in our passage, and I have to quickly give you these last ones when I finish this, but notice in our passage in verse number 26, the Bible says, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go. Now notice in verse number 27, and he arose and did what? And went. Notice there in verse number 29, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near. And notice there in verse number 30, and Philip ran thither to him. Notice there in verse number 35, and skip down to there. The Bible says, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him what? Jesus. Now you say, now, Pastor, where's the commandment for him to preach Jesus in this passage? It's not in this passage. It's way prior to this, when Jesus gave the Great Commission in Matthew chapter number 28. You see, many of us have the hindrance of disobedience in our life. And my friend, that is a hindrance in your Christian life. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 7 and 8. Pastor is going over the book of Galatians right now for us and has done a wonderful series on that. But in chapter number 5 and verse 7 through 8, Paul said this to the churches at Galatia. He said, ye did run well. By the way, that gives the idea that the Galatians were doing what? They were running in their Christian life. Boy, they were doing some great things for Jesus Christ. He says, ye did run well, as in the past tense. Notice what he says also there in Galatians. He says, who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. And I tell you, this passage of Scripture in Galatians 5 and verse 7 through 8 tells us about the Eusta Christian syndrome. Has anybody ever heard of that before? The Eusta Christian syndrome. Here, let me explain it to you. I used to go to church. I used to go soul winning. I used to work in the bus ministry. I used to read my Bible. I used to pray. This is the Eusta Christian syndrome. I used to do this and I used to do that, but somewhere along the line, somebody or something hindered them from moving forward in their Christian walk. And by the way, there's plenty of somebodies and there's plenty of some things that are going to come along the way to do what? Hinder you in the Christian life. Whoever and whatever it is that's hindering you not to obey God, let me just tell you, it is not of God. If somebody comes alongside of you and is convincing you not to walk with God, they are not of God. If there's something that comes along in your Christian life that's convincing you not to walk with God, I'm telling you, it is not of God. Does that make sense? Dr. Clarence Sexton used to say this, the only job of a servant, get this, is to obey the master. The only job of a servant is to obey the master. Hebrews 12:1 says this, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, and that word weight, by the way, means hindrances, and the sin which so easily doth beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Let me give you the last four really quickly, and you can write these down and study them out for yourself. The third one is this, is the hindrance of being a stumbling stone. The hindrance of being a stumbling stone. And write down this passage, Luke chapter 11 and verse number 52. Luke chapter 11 and verse number 52. I want you to think about this when you look up that passage. Think about in Acts chapter 2 that there were 3,000 saved in Jerusalem. Then go ahead and fast forward to Acts chapter number 4 and think about the fact that there were 5,000 more saved in Jerusalem. How many is that in total? 5,000 to 3,000. Who's a math genius in here? Somebody tell me. 8,000. Okay, we got it. 8,000. So riddle me this. With 8,000 born again, gospel preaching, saved Christians running around Jerusalem, how is it that the Ethiopian eunuch made it outside the city limits into the middle of a desert without the gospel being preached to him? You ever think about that? Why is it that the Lord had to send a special courier away from a good revival that was going on in Samaria to meet this man in the middle of the desert as he had left the temple, by the way, which was the city center for all the religion of the day, and yet he did not run into somebody that had got converted him at that point in the middle of the desert? You see, I think maybe this is the hindrance of being a stumbling stone. And might I say this, that there's two ways that you will make someone stumble. Number one, by your actions. When you leave out of here tonight, when you go home, the folks are going to be watching as you pull up into your driveway perhaps. They're going to see you get out of the car and they're going to see that you wore nice clothes, and they're going to surmise that if you hadn't told them already that that person was at church. And what are they going to think when you go to the back of your car and grab that six-pack of beer out of the back of your car to bring it in after you just come from church? Or what do you think when you come home from church and the first thing you do is go out on your porch and maybe light up a cigarette on the porch? You see, by your actions, you can hinder someone from coming to Jesus Christ. Now, I'm just pointing out two different examples. You can figure out the rest for you, but your actions are either drawing people to Jesus, or you're doing what? Pushing people away from Jesus. It's going to be one or the other. So you can be a stumbling stone to people by your actions, and then also, number two, by your refusal to witness. In other words, by not giving them the message. And if you look at Luke chapter 11 and verse 52, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about with the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes and lawyers. Also, write down these last two, the hindrance of the home. The hindrance of the home. You can look up 1 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 7. This talks about us being husbands, dwelling with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. And so you can have a hindrance by your home life to your Christian life, in case you didn't know that. You have the hindrance of the home, and then the last one here is a positive one, and I'll give this one. This is the hindrance you want. And when I first say it, you're going to say, I don't want that hindrance, but yes, you do. The hindrance of Satan. The hindrance of Satan. You say, I don't want the hindrance of Satan in my life. Well, I give you 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 18. Go look it up. Bible says this, wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan, guess what? Hindered us. And might I say this to you, that hindrance is a mark that you're headed in the right direction. If you got the adversary standing up and opposing you, I can tell you this, you're headed in the right direction. Please take time, study that out. I've gone 5 minutes over, and write those passages down. Please go and look at those. But here's my heart to you is this, is ask the Holy Spirit to reveal unto you any hindrances that are going on in your Christian life, whatever they may be. Maybe it's the hindrance of sin. Maybe it's the hindrance of disobedience. Maybe it's the hindrance of being a stumbling stone. And you can look at your own life. I don't have to point out those things that perhaps are pushing people away from Jesus in your life. Or maybe it's this, is that there's folks in your life that you haven't given the gospel to. And so you're hindering them from coming to Christ. Because guess what? God has put you in their path for a reason, and that's to give them the good news of Jesus Christ. And look at those last two, the hindrance of the home, and then the hindrance of Satan. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for, Lord, what a fantastic message we received from Pastor Pirate Club. Well, Father, the greatest story ever told is about your son, Jesus Christ, but what He has done for us on the cross of Calvary. We thank You so much for that. Lord, I pray, Father, that even as we've looked at some hindrances in the Christian life, Lord, You'd speak to our hearts individually about perhaps some things that are hindering us from going forward in our Christian life. Oh, Lord, I know that of the saints here, Father, that not one of us want our prayers to go unanswered. There's not one of us here that would not like to see Hampton Roads turned upside down for Jesus Christ. Lord, there's not one of us who would like to see our family members walking with the Lord. But yet, Lord, there's perhaps some hindrances that are going on in our Christian life. And so, Father, I pray, Lord, that as You would point those out, as the Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts, Lord, that we would get those right by asking You to reveal those things unto us. And Father, whatever needs to take place, if it's a hindrance of actions, Lord, some things that we need to quit, some things we need to stop doing, maybe as a hindrance of not telling somebody about Jesus, or maybe our actions are not pleasing unto the Lord. Father, whatever it may be, Lord, I pray, Father, You would just guide and direct us. Lord, we do love You. We thank You. We ask all these things in Your Son's name. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed.